when most people think of Christianity, what is it that you think first comes to mind? I think if, in comparison to, say, other religions of the world, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormonism, etc., I think what people would think of in regard to Christianity is doctrine. Now, we believe in a Trinity. We believe the second person is Jesus Christ. We believe that he is human and divine. We believe that there is a Holy Spirit. We believe, and the list goes on and on and on. You can go to a seminary for 4 years and not exhaust a study of doctrines. But if Christianity is just doctrines, so what? Have you ever gone to a sermon and heard a wonderful sermon about the different wills of God, but has no application to your life? We made a number of distinctions on law and gospel, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking today about how the Christian faith is certainly doctrinal, but it is also quite practical. It is helpful. And that's our subject for today on Tuesday, April the 8th, on Law and Gospel. My name is Tom Baker, and we're here with Inspirational Christian Radio. It's also talk radio. That means that I just don't do the talking, but you can phone in on this subject of the practicality of Christianity. What are the phone numbers? In the St. Louis area, 505-7850. Outside St. Louis, in the entire North America, 1-800-730-2727. And, of course, worldwide, studio mail, email, lawgospel@kfuo.org. That's lawgospel@kfuo.org. A couple of housekeeping tasks to do, first of all. Number one, I'm a little behind on emails right now simply because my main computer kind of fell apart. A few viruses got in, so we have a new one we're working on, getting up speed and running. And we're soon going to be announcing a new website, or I should say a revised website. Right now, it's lawgospel.com. It'll still be that, but it'll be a little bit changed. And we hope to have that probably this weekend in light of the downplaying of the computer I was working with. The other item is yesterday, if you were listening to the afternoon show, we had Henry Gehrke in here, and he asked me if I could remind folks that this Sunday, April the 13th at 3 p.m. at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, there is going to be a psalm fest. That means they're going to be singing on Psalm 23, Reflections on Psalm 23. And that'll be a wonderful festival. Unfortunately, I'll be in California, Missouri, a congregation of Pastor Peter Kurowski's, and be there about 2 o'clock. First of all, preaching in the morning, Bible class, and then in the afternoon doing a seminar. So if you're in the California, Missouri area, we'd love to have you there. Pastor Peter Kurowski's church in California, Missouri. Christianity, it is doctrinal. There's no doubt about that. The whole Reformation was about a doctrinal issue. Are we saved by works or are we saved by faith alone? But today we're going to be talking about, having spoken a lot about the foundation of the doctrinal teachings of the Christian faith, how do we apply them? How do we apply them? How has it become practical for you and for me? In every other religion, how do you get comfort? You get comfort by making sure you know what the rules are and following them as closely as possible, your comfort thereby coming about because you are meriting God's pleasure. It is impossible, according to the Christian faith, to merit God's pleasure if you are an unbeliever because you can't do anything that is pleasing to God in the long run. You can do outward acts to keep peace in the temporal world, but you can't do a pleasing good work in the spiritual realm and therefore get right with God. As we said yesterday, Christianity is the only religion in the world that has no advice for unbelievers as to what they can do in order to get saved. And why is that? Because Christianity is a revelation that in Christ, the entire world's sins have been forgiven. We have good news, not just to the elect, not just to believers, but to every person in the world, that the curse of the law hanging over you is gone. Now, the only problem with that is law continues to hit us right in the face. And we have to understand what we mean by law. We do not mean simply words of law, such as the Ten Commandments. The word law means much more in the Bible when we talk about living under the law. When we preach law, it means we use the content of law to do something lawful. And what do? In every other religion, what is the purpose of speaking about the law? It is to help people know what to do in order to get right with their God. But in Christianity, the law has quite a different purpose in regard to your salvation. It is never used as a way of becoming saved. In fact, it is never used as a way of staying saved. It is instead used properly to show there's nothing you can do to be saved. If salvation is yours, God gets all the credit. Now, how do we show that? We show that by quoting God's Word. Nothing can be more sure than words from the Holy Bible. They can be misunderstood, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, they can also be understood. The essence of Christianity is not found in the events that have occurred. It is certainly not found in the works that you do. The essence of Christianity is placed squarely on the promises of God. Christianity is the only religion that comforts by means of promises given to people who don't deserve what the promises say is theirs. Now, how do we become practical? Well, have you not had times of loneliness or anger or frustration or rebellion, discouragement, depression, trouble? Have you not had times of temptation, impatience, a sickness, sadness, the bereavement? How does God counter those and what we're going to say hammer blows of the law? For the law has one purpose. It's not to give you information about the law. It's to show you that there is nothing you can do according to the law whereby you might be saved. Law works don't save anybody, because it is impossible to do a proper work of the law until after you have been totally saved. And therefore, if you've been totally saved, law works can't save you. You're already totally saved. The purpose of the promises of God are to comfort you in the various things I was talking about. And that is why religion is of works, Christianity is of promises, and gracious promises from a loving God. How about those of you who are discouraged? You're discouraged about what? About the future, and you're not happy with the present. What does God say to those of us who are discouraged occasionally? Philippians 1 verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it up to the day of Jesus Christ. That is, on that great day, that work will be completed and you with all the saints will be in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's a promise. Can you remember the last time somebody was in one of their bad moods because of the pressures of the law upon them? And all they were looking for is not that the stuff would go away, but they were just looking for something that would comfort them. Nothing comforts like the promises of God, because behind the promises stand none other than God himself. What is discouragement? Well, discouragement is kind of losing heart. And so that's why Psalm 27 is so important. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many times have we said to God, hurry up, God, or else? What God does is come to us in times of trouble and nourishes and comforts us, not by getting rid of the trouble, but by giving a promise attached to that trouble. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here comes the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? If you're a child of God, you are the beneficiary of the will of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait until you die, for he has already died. It's no coincidence that Jesus refers to the Lord's Supper as his last will and testament. In fact, the word testament can refer to the Lord's Supper. The Old Covenant or Testament, proper translation, was Mount Sinai, where the people all went to the mountain and they said, all the things the Lord has said, we will do. The New Covenant was also on the basis of the shedding of blood, like the Old Covenant was when Moses sprinkled blood over the people and over the altar. But this is a different blood of the New Testament. This is the blood of Christ. And his blood was shed for you. Why? Because the shedding of blood signifies death. And that was the only way that the law could be fulfilled short of you spending an eternity in hell. Now, how many times have you been discouraged over something? If you would just stand back and look at the big picture, boy, is it ever silly, the things we get discouraged over. They could be as silly as breaking one of your fingernails after you'd spent so much time in just getting it right. Or the hair dye you used isn't quite the kind that you were looking for. Or you put money in the stock market and the very day you did it, that's the day it dropped the first time in 3 months. Now, you can look at all those things and say, what bad luck. Bad things are happening to me. But the fact is, you are a child of God, and God is not permitting anything bad to happen to you. He will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, and that peace of God will still be instilled in you. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's a peace that God has made between himself and also his enemies. We're still thinking of the problem of the law that attacks us occasionally when we get times of discouragement. How about another Bible verse to remind us? John 14, verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. So the world does give a peace, but the kind of peace we get from God is the peace between ourselves and God himself. Therefore, we need not be discouraged or troubled, because God is protecting us. To be in discouragement then is really to think that God's word isn't sure, that he's not going to keep his promises. Even though something like Psalm 31 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Now, God has set you up in a special relationship with himself. In that relationship, he has fostered, he has made grow, and he has strengthened. So to cut God off from yourself is really to spit in your own face, because God is the only one that will protect you from the real evils in this world, which are the world, the devil, and our flesh. Now, one more verse about in times of discouragement. Is there a passage that really talks about the good news in times of discouragement? You may be discouraged because in standing up for Christ, you have been persecuted. We talked about this yesterday, where people who hold to the creation point of view in colleges and teaching positions are being ridiculed and are being persecuted. And the reason for that is people do not want to have a personal God who then holds them accountable for their works. They want to be free. And they don't want to be somebody accusing them all the time of doing wrong. So every protest, in that sense, therefore, is really self-interest oriented and motivated. People who are making a big deal about an issue so that others may become more aware of it. Jesus puts it this way as a promise. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children with lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, to understand this verse best, we could go into the understanding of all the physics lying behind this, all the impossibilities to our mind, and come out fairly clean. But the fact of the matter is that God is giving you right now 100-fold. It says now in this time. You may not think that's happening, but I can't even begin to imagine how many things the devil would like to do to you that God says no. He holds him back. And when he does allow him to move on, look at Job. Job ended up with a far greater faith. Now, sometimes your discouragement may lead to a form of depression. Where do we find promises of God for those who are depressed? Well, Psalm 30. Verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, this is talking about our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the benefits one has through trusting in his holy word. And in this particular passage, we can see that the trust may not be misplaced, because he indeed is thinking about, talking with, and examining the whole situation before he says anything. God's anger is placated by the blood of Jesus Christ. How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, only those who have read the righteousness of God and his ascension into heaven will understand what it means by his righteous right hand. Who is the right hand of God? That's right, it's Jesus and him alone. And even though people saw him visibly and he had a real body, he was no longer just a spirit, there are so many today who think that they want to go through that same experience that the early apostles did without recognizing that there's no need to do that. And there's no need to do that because God is taking care of us. That's his promises. To kind of summarize the first part of this program, and we're going to give you some more practical aids, if you think Christianity is all about doctrine, that's like saying a car is all about the parts. Well, you can have the parts, but if you don't ever start it and drive somewhere, it may look good, but it's really not very functional, is it? Christianity is a functioning religion where God reveals to you how we are functioning with the Holy Trinity, how He functions with you and how salvation comes about. But we live in a world that's fallen. So a lot of people go through some times where the law of God strikes them and they become discouraged or dismayed or upset. There are many areas of life where the gospel of Jesus Christ can come to bear. And I think that's some of the things that we need to be doing right now is sharing a message for people who appear to be lonely or in fear or frustrated or guilt or suffering in discouragement or depression to bring them back to a right understanding of God. And that comes about not by telling people, oh, you should believe in God. That doesn't help at all. What really helps is to tell them what the Bible says about Jesus. Because in the very telling, using the Word of God, then your words have power. And the Holy Spirit can create faith through the words. Now, do you know that sometimes your attitude towards somebody totally changes because of the words you hear about them? Let's say that your neighbor has a big water bill, and it occurred during August when nobody was supposed to be watering their lawns because there was a shortage of water. Now, you may be really angry with them. And then you find out that part of that water bill was due to a swimming pool that they had on their property, and they opened it up and made it available for children in the inner city and others who needed a place to stay. Then your whole view of them changes. It changes not because you saw something. It changes because you heard something. And when you hear something, that can change your view. Well, in Christianity, that's the only way that we are aware of that people's views change, through the proclamation of the Word of God. And in the proclamation of the Word of God, we're actually proclaiming something that is very important. Well, in our remaining moment here, if you'd like to phone me on any of this, we've got a few more examples that we're going to share with you about how promises of the Bible is what makes Christianity practical. And you can begin to see the importance of doctrine. For if the doctrine is wrong that you are saying, then there's no guarantee that the promises are sure. For the promises to be sure, one needs to realize that we can rely on the Bible. And that reliance does not come about by getting all kinds of evidence as to, oh yeah, that just overwhelms me. I got to believe that. No. It comes about by trusting what Jesus has already said about certain things. So as he says more, wow, what a difference that makes. Maybe you have one of these problems of guilt or rebellion, suffering, discouragement, a depression, trouble, temptation, impatience. If you do, give me a ring, and we'd be glad to help you work through that as to what promises might best avail for your particular situation. That's the goal of today's program. Please stay with us through the break.
Why upgrade to a new HD radio? Here's what Stan thinks.
Wow, this is amazing. I've never heard KFUO radio like this other than being in the studio.
It's that good?
It sounds excellent. The quality is unbelievable.
Is it complicated?
Someone who just came out to my work parking lot and for a couple $100 installed the unit, it looks and works great.
Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome, and I encourage everybody to go out and get an HD radio. It's an amazing difference for the reception at KFUO.
The Susquecentennial of the Lincoln Douglas debates will kick off in Alton, Illinois, with a series of events scheduled around the National Conference of the Association of Lincoln Presenters. The public is invited to the weekend filled with Lincoln-related gatherings. Become a part of the interaction with Lincoln presenters as they go walking and talking, like Abe Lincoln, April 11th, 12th, and 13th, all around Alton. For information, see visitalton.com online.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Does it ever seem like your kids aren't listening? My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains one technique that works well with boys.
If you want to talk to your boys, and you're just talking, and you're nagging him half to death, and he's not hearing it, reach out and touch him. You touch him, put your hands on both shoulders, and get him around to look you in the eye. Then he's attending to you. Shirley will frequently do that. I'll be driving down the freeway, and I'll be thinking about something, and she'll reach over and touch me on the leg, and I will look at her, and then I'm listening to her. It's just a major difference between men and women.
The difference between boys and girls is something that's critical for every parent to understand. Our Focus on Your Child membership program can tell you more about those differences with practical age-specific newsletters and parenting CDs. We also have a great website. You can find out all about it at focusonyourchild.com.
Some of us are pretty smug, fairly confident in how we are living our lives. We think we're doing okay. How does that compare to Paul's comment that none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God, all have turned aside. Let's talk about that with Pastor John Schmidtke next time on our 10:05 Bible Study.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Are you looking for biblical commentary to aid your Christian life? God's Word for Life is being called a one-of-a-kind resource by readers. Offered by Lutherans for Life, God's Word for Life is a study Bible containing 38 commentaries on life issues using the God's Word translation. God's Word for Life includes a topical index and study guide bookmark with each Bible. You can find out more information on God's Word for Life at lutheransforlife.org.
Youth violence reached epidemic proportions in the early 90s, both nationally and in the city of St. Louis. And while the past few years have been witness to a gradual reduction, the amount of violence in American society, particularly in St. Louis, remains at undesirably high levels. More reason to attend the Youth Violence Prevention Conference at the University of Missouri St. Louis Thursday, April 17th. Prevention strategies, minority perspectives, and juvenile justice system response will be addressed.
The St. Louis Abbey Church Concert Series presents the renowned European vocal ensemble Kalmus at the Abbey on Saturday, April 12th at 7:30 p.m. Chorales, motets, and sacred choral music will be on the program. It's free with donations welcome. The Abbey is on the Priory School campus at 530 South Mason Road. Call 314-878-2120 for more information.
On today's Law and Gospel, we're talking about practical Christianity. We often talk about justification, sanctification, the two natures of Christ, the Holy Trinity. We're bringing all that together in practical Christianity. What difference does all that doctrine make? Well, it makes a difference for your life, not only here on earth, but also in the life to come. It's a very common thing that people will say, boy, I really have some problems. I'm in trouble. Jesus says in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now, the word there for be troubled means to get stirred up or disturbed, thrown into confusion. Why is that so troubling to us as human beings, to be thrown into confusion? Well, think what confusion is. Confusion is a state of mind where you're not sure what the future holds, and you're not sure how to get out of the present if it's a problem. Confusion is simply the law's way of telling you you are not in control. So if somebody comes into my congregation and visits me in the office afterwards and says, "Pastor, I'm just so confused," then immediately come to mind a number of Bible verses that will begin to be used by me to help people out of confusion. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, there you've got a perfect example of being troubled, and you being afraid of the future is very, very important. This whole idea, by the way, of being afraid is best translated as being cowardly. A cowardly is somebody, indeed, who is not sure what they need to do. They're afraid because of themselves. Another good word would be timid. They're timid because they have no confidence in God. Now, you're going to say, no, it means they have no confidence in themselves. But you see, God is working through you. And when you are therefore timid in preaching the Word of God in all its fullness, it's because you really don't trust God. Behind many of our fears and times of trouble is really a lack of faith. The promises of God lead you to true faith. When Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you," you think you can respond, "Well, you must have not left much of it, because things are pretty troublesome around here." We need to realize that that's just part of the sentence, namely, "Peace I leave with you." Now listen to the rest of John 14:27. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What's he talking about here? The peace that really causes the most amount of trouble is separation, not just from another person or not just from our property, but from God itself. God himself can be afraid to speak things if he's really not God. And so we think that God isn't in control, that he does not have control when we're confused. Let us not put our view of reality in God's mind, as though God is just like me, because he's not. He first of all understands, as through the Apostle Paul writing to the second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 4:8-9, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, and we are struck down, but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, let's take a little greater look at that, because what is that exactly saying to you? This is practical Christianity. When it says, first of all, we are troubled on every side, The word there is a little bit different than the previous word trouble, where it's confused. It really means we're pressed down upon, we're oppressed, we're afflicted. So here's a good example where the English word trouble is actually translating two different Greek words. So you really need to look at the context to see sometimes even when the same word is there. So what does it mean we are troubled on every side? It means we are crowded in, we're oppressed, affliction is coming upon us. Now, notice, it's not that we cause trouble, but we are troubled. It's a passive. These are things that are happening to us. You're on earth, folks. You're not in heaven. That simply means is that people can get away with murder through you. So that you need to be careful. Yes, we're troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. Now, if trouble means to be pressed upon and afflicted, but we are not distressed, it's kind of interesting. The verb for troubled can mean made narrow. You're just constricted. It's kind of like people who are afraid to be on an elevator. Oh, they just hate it, being all closed in like that. Well, that's what the troubling is. But the opposite word is, but we are not, some say crushed. That's good. I like the word confined. So we are really being crushed upon every side, but we're not confined. How can that be? Because nobody can confine you when you're in Christ. Christ is all powerful. He can be in two places at the same time. He can be in 20 places at the same time. But he can sure take care of your small problems compared to what he took care of, namely the whippings, the nails, the death, and he rose from the dead. And the Bible even says he rose himself, which alone only God could do. So on the one hand, we're troubled on every side. We're really pressed in, yet we are not really cramped. We're not confined. We're not restricted. We're not crushed in. Why? Because of Jesus Christ with us. The next statement is we are also perplexed. Now, this simply means we're uncertain as to what the future is going to be holding. And it can cause great disturbance. But in this case, we are not only perplexed, but we are not in great despair. This word is used for the kind of despair that a living person might have, but it indicates very clearly these yings and yangs, the negatives and the positives. The negative, yeah, we're in trouble, we're pressed in, but guess what? We're not confined. Oh, yes, we're really complex or perplexed, but we're not in despair. Now, this is Paul talking about how the Christian, therefore, lives in Christ. The next one he says, we are persecuted. Now, the word persecute here, it's like being pursued after. The people are seeking after us, and they're trying to drive us out. But it says, we are not forsaken. Now, this is kind of interesting. A better translation for that, we are persecuted. That is, people are running after us to get us, but we are not forsaken, abandoned, deserted, or left behind. I like that idea, that we're not left behind, because where are you? Even when you're attacked, you're with Jesus. Why? You're part of the body of Christ. And where the head is, there's where the body is. There's no body of Christ apart from the head. So wherever he is, that's where you truly are in your spiritual journey. And that's the promise that God has given. Now, the final part of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9, we are struck down. Another way is thrown down. But we are not destroyed. We are not killed. So yes, we're thrown down, like in a war where they're trying to get rid of the enemy. But guess what? It doesn't hurt or harm us any. Because the deed is done. He's judged. The devil has lost. We have won in Christ. What we're looking at right now, folks, are various passages in the Bible that deal with people who are living under the law because the law is impacting them in certain ways. I think one of the most well-known being under the law, of course, is in times of grief over the death of a loved one. And then there are so many passages which talk about how God will bring our loved one in Christ. We will see them again. And so we get comfort from the Word of God on the basis of promises. If there's probably one better word than gospel, it would be promises. In fact, in the Confession of the Lutheran Church, written in the early 16th century before the emperor, the Latin version talks about law and promises, written by Melanchthon, a sidekick to Luther, Martin Luther, 16th century. 1530, this document was put out called the Augsburg Confession, because it was done at the Diet of Augsburg, a kind of a council where many religious leaders were there. And when it was done, a lot of people didn't like what they had been being told. But God continued to use the reformers to speak the word of truth. And so in many of the passages in the original Latin, it's not law and gospel, but law and promises. Now, I would change it a little bit because there are still promises of the law. For example, in the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. That is a promise from God, and as we know, it came pass exactly as he said it would. So we're not talking about law promises, we're really talking about promises of the gospel. And that is promises that have come about because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take away that death and resurrection, then none of the promises come to fruition. What Christianity really is, what witnessing really is taking a look at a person and see what kind of law he's suffering under. How is the law hitting him today? We've already looked at some. It can be in times of loneliness, in times of fear, in times of anger, in times of guilt. All of these feelings of being under the gun are appropriate in a common sense religion. It's just that there's no way of really being helped outside of that. Now, well, what's one way in which people feel they are under the law would be in times of temptation. Now, temptation is something that will come to you because you're living here on earth. It's impossible not to be tempted, but you're never tempted by God. You're only tempted by the world, your flesh, and, of course, the devil. So what we're looking at here is the temptation that can come to every person. 1 Corinthians 10:13 has one of my favorite Bible verses. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, another word for temptation could be a test or a trial, or most people think of temptation as a kind of enticement to sin. So, if there's a way to entice you to sin, the devil's going to try and find that. And he'll play on your weak moments. And that enticement to sin is called temptation. But listen what God says about it in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. So what this is simply saying is, no, the temptations that you're enduring are what it is to be a person today. You get hit again and again. But God will not permit you to be tempted. Now, by the way, the King James has something like, who will not suffer you to be tempted. That word suffer is one of the key words in the King James language that has changed its meaning entirely. The other one that was spoken about not long ago was the temptation to not only not love God, but to love oneself to such a level that we set ourselves up as God. Now, God says there's no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. So don't think you're being singled out by God. He's got enough to do to take care of other areas of life. He doesn't have to spend time trying to give you temptations, because he would be a cruel God. God is faithful. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm getting the temptations, God is faithful. What help is there in that for me? Remember the big question for all kinds of moving out into the world as you preach the message? The people are going to be asking themselves again and again and again, so what? So what? You're not able to do this, but you can do this. What I want to know is, what is the configuration that we're looking at today from God's point of view? Do I fit in it? Do I have some work to be done? Just exactly what's going on. Well, what's very interesting in this 1 Corinthians 10:13 passage is it not only talks about that God is the one who has the power, but it also says that he is going to allow you not to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the first thing that came to my mind is, well, wait a minute. How about all those people out there who fell into temptation, who were unable to bear it? How is this sentence going to be heard by them? And the answer is God can work faith in many ways. Now, some ways that you could not possibly duplicate. Because finally, he gets the Holy Spirit in a person's heart, convicts them of their sins, helps them to see what a righteous person really means, and then moves on from there. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, you have this beautiful promise that God will provide a way of escape. But the promise is also maybe part of the problem. Because part of the problem in the promise is that we need to believe it. And the promises are always on the basis of something that we can hardly believe. Don't tell me that. And in essence, it is impossible to believe except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even Christians can hear the Word of God and still need God to be coming to them to help them through that particular problem. God is faithful, and he will not suffer you. The word suffer, remember, is also used as a verb in connection to the children. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. So, God will not suffer temptation to you. He will not permit it. That's all that suffering means. He's going to have another way of escape. And that way of escape is going to be up to you as to whether you accept it or not. It's built in such a way that you can accept it without making a problem in the traffic patterns. And when we're talking about all this, we're talking about the traffic patterns of good doctrine and then excellent evangelism. What we're dealing with are practical examples of Christianity today. If somebody has a time of temptation, about the worst thing you can talk about is, I can give you some evidence that the virgin birth really took place. He's not interested in the virgin birth. He's got a strong temptation before him. 2 Peter 2:9 might be helpful. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So now we hear of a way in which God delivers the ungodly out of temptation. It's a promise in 2 Peter 2:9. Now, when you get through some tough days, do you give yourself all the credit? No. Listen indeed. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? Why would I count it a joy that I fall into a various trial? Because the testing of your faith produces patience. What's the testing of the faith? Well, think about it. If you test steel, you're going to try and put extra pressure on it to see if it breaks. And when it doesn't, then you know we have the right kind of tool that's necessary. Well, it's similar with the message of Jesus Christ. Some people need to hear it. Other people can read it. But it's really up to you and me to deliver it. And we can deliver it by doing something and giving it to the people at no cost. And that can happen through words, through ebooks, through many, many ways in which you get into a person's mind so that you can best help them out. Well, it's the same with this. We're trying to get into the mind of those who best want to hear the message that Jesus is indeed the Good Shepherd. And the first thing I think we see is the stark difference between Jesus and Peter. Now, Peter's not even here. He doesn't appear until the second appearance, where the mother of Peter wants to let him speak. And then we have to sit back and listen to another sermon, or whatever that was, in order to convince us of the truthfulness of the Word of God. That truthfulness of the Word of God can come about either by speaking it, or it can come about by reading it, or it can come about, as it is done so successfully these days, by radio ministry. That's why we're not going to be ashamed during the Share-a-thon to ask you for your help in order to continue this station into the future, so you continue to hear that kind of message which is really needed for individuals who are tired. Tired of maybe living, and they've been tempted to do something that may not lead to good results. I'll do one more about those who are in temptation. It says in Galatians 1, verse 4, He gave Himself for your sins, that He might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. God recognizes you're living in an evil age. That's why it's so much easier to get a different kind of a handle on things, in order that you might have a better understanding of what you need to be looking for. The webpage, by the way, if you'd like to get a hold of us and ask us some questions as we move closer and closer to Open Mic Friday, is 314-395-5050. That's 314-395-5050. Our website is lawgospel.com. That's lawgospel.com. What we're talking about today on Law and Gospel is how practical is the Christian message. It's practical because it inserts something for you that you can meditate upon and prepare yourself for the coming readings on that Sunday and really be able to get something out of it, because you're going to be able to listen in a way that you hadn't before. Our numbers, if you'd like to phone us, are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727, and also you can go to the website to find out our book on Amazon. That's Amazon.com. And finally, you'll really want to maybe have the opportunity to drop over and see what's being sold here and there, because it's important to recognize what the message of Christianity is. It's just not doctrine. It's just not theory. It's also telling a person who is distressed, who is under the many faces of law, that we have something that is far greater than any medical medicine you've been able to use. We have the Word of God. When we get back from the break, got a few more of these insights into practical Christianity. I'm Tom Baker. Please stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.